Welcome to episode 6 of The Ferret's Den. On this episode, we have Shalina Hoberg all the way over from the United States of America, where she's based in Florida, and she is spending this week at our Bong Bong facility teaching our staff on all the ins and outs of hyperbaric treatment in horses. Shalina, welcome to the show. Could you give us a bit of a background on yourself and your history with the use of hyperbaric treatment in animals in general?
Yes. I originally started as a equine veterinary nurse in Australia. Relocated to the US in 2001, worked on a thoroughbred farm over there, but then initially started at Haggard Equine Clinic, who had a equine hyperbaric oxygen chamber back then, different style, trailer style. So I started working with hyperbaric oxygen therapy then. I then moved to Kesmark, a rehabilitation facility. I was their rehabilitation manager and hyperbaric manager there for almost 10 years. During that time, I started working for a company called Equine Oxygen Therapy, who are manufacturers of hyperbaric chambers. So we designed a new style of chamber, a walk-in upright style chamber, which is what is here at Bong Bong Farm. During that time, I found that there was no education, no training, no one to get experience from for hyperbaric oxygen therapy for animals. It had only really been used for research purposes in the military, and it was very new to the equine world at that point. Nothing really outside of equine. So I went and got myself certified. The title is Certified Hyperbaric Technologist on the human side. After that, along with some associates of mine who had interest in hyperbarics, we developed the Veterinary Hyperbaric Association. And going forward, multiple years later, we then developed a certification program. So we now have an association and a certification specifically for animal hyperbarics. So I've been doing hyperbarics now since late 2002-2003. I have hundreds of clients around the world, so I do equine and small animal. When I say small animal, it can include dogs, cats, rats, rabbits, beavers, peacocks, eagles, turtles, all the things. So yes, been doing hyperbaric oxygen therapy for 20 plus years.
Yeah, and obviously very new to us here in Australia, new to the staff and the team, and we've sort of taken a bit of time to work with you over the last couple of days and learning about hyperbaric therapy. Extremely fascinating. I think the more we learn, the more we want to know. But can you just give us like a really simplified, you know, what is hyperbaric therapy? How does it work? Why do we use it? I think there's not many people that would actually have ever really been heard of hyperbaric therapy.
So one of the things to differentiate specifically with this type of chamber and this type of therapy is that it's hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So there are hyperbaric chambers which are increased pressure, but they don't use 100% oxygen. So that's a big difference on the human side as well as on the animal side. But the same principles as we use decompression chambers for scuba divers, it's the exact same science. You're going, or the animal, the patient is going in a pressurized chamber. So we're pressurizing and then we're applying 100% oxygen. In this case, the chamber is pressurized with 100% oxygen. In some cases, particularly with humans, it's much harder with animals. They will be pressurized with air and the patient is breathing oxygen through a mask. But in our case, it's difficult to put a mask on the animal while they're unattended. So we pressurize with the oxygen. This allows oxygen to be absorbed directly into tissues. So it can penetrate the blood-brain barrier, it can penetrate the spinal cord, it gets absorbed into plasma and into any fluid in the muscles or the tissues, as opposed to breathing oxygen at normal pressure, where once hemoglobin's saturated, your red blood cells are saturated, you can't absorb any more oxygen. So that's the basic principle of it. We're shrinking the oxygen molecule with pressure and allowing it to be absorbed up to 5 times.
Yeah, it's obviously equine, where we're working with horses. Why are we putting them in a pressurized chamber, and increasing the oxygen? How are we helping the horses, and what is it used for?
So in medical fields, so in equine hospitals and such, which there are a few of those located mostly in the US, it's going to be used for things like infections, any kind of brain issue where we've got lack of oxygen to the brain, but also pre and post surgical conditions, post colic torsion. So one of the common conditions with that is what we call reperfusion injury, so where we've had lack of blood flow and lack of oxygen to the gut when they resect it, often you get secondary complications. So it's really common using that, using hyperbaric oxygen as a treatment for that. With relation to performance, we're looking at more sports injuries. So it's common around the world, but particularly if we're referring to the US, all the top level basketball teams, NFL teams, football teams, sprinters, any top level athlete is using a hyperbaric chamber for recovery. So it's going to help reduce inflammation. It's going to help you, or our animals, in this case our racehorses, perform at their optimum level. So if we can hyperoxygenate the tissues, it's going to speed up recovery, it's going to help prevent injuries, it's going to create better performance as far as the natural ability of that athlete. So for applications like that, we're looking at more sports injuries and recovery related issues in our performance animals.
I guess just on that note about the recovery modalities, I guess in Australia at least, there's been this boom in terms of even just the general population going in the likes of ice baths and having compression boots on. Can you compare the likes of those types of recovery techniques compared to a hyperbaric chamber? I imagine it's obviously a lot more advanced and the benefits are far superior than the likes of those. Is there anything that you can compare like for like? Obviously, maybe less so from an equine, but that human side of things?
So, I mean, if you look at any of those applications are going to be external. So the application of hyperbaric oxygen therapy is the inhalation of the oxygen and the pressure then how it affects the body and the cells. So if we're looking at decreasing inflammation with an ice bath or with a compression boot, like using the Normatec, whether it's pressure and heat and cold, we're getting an external response and it's limited. So once I remove that, I'm losing that therapeutic benefit. There's no real long-lasting effect. I mean, you may even say, okay, I'm getting a reduction in tissue temperature for a certain amount of time. But with hyperbaric oxygen, it's happening on a cellular level. So it's going to increase your stem cell production. It's going to increase your stem cell mobility, so your body is going to increase your immune system, so your body is going to heal itself, and it's changing structurally on a cellular level as opposed to an external application from whether you're doing red light, cold water therapy, ice therapy, infrared sauna. That's all external and limited to its exposure.
So with all this in mind and how incredible the technology is and the science behind it, why are there not more of these chambers in Australia, and it's, you know, so new here, it's not utilised as much as it's used in the States?
So if we're talking directly with horses, obviously our population, concentration, and just the money involved in the industry in Australia is lower, so there's less number of big high-end facilities, including equine veterinary facilities that could utilize it. So obviously in the US, there's just the population in general. I mean, you're talking, the population of Australia fits into the greater state of New York. So if we look at the concentration of humans and then multiply that with the concentration of equines, there's essentially, to put it bluntly, there's a lot more money and a lot more applications for it there. So it's a big outlay. It's not just something you can blow up and put in the corner. You need, I mean, the unit itself runs upward of $500,000 US, and then it needs to be in a temperature controlled room, specifically built with foundations and flooring. So it's a big outlay and a big expense, which is frustrating because the benefits would outweigh the cost eventually. I initially thought that it would be more popular in Australia with our regulations on bleeders and such, That's one of the things we've treated most successfully, most commonly in the US, but I just really think it's limited by the population numbers and the money.
So in terms of treatments, how long would sort of the average session take? It might be case dependent, obviously. And sort of what is the preparation for each horse to go in the chamber to be sort of prepared, and how much education do they need to have before sort of being comfortable to go in that chamber?
So again, it depends on the breed, obviously. In this case, we're talking thoroughbreds and race horses, so they're some of the most difficult to handle. In other cases, if we're treating quarter horses or even just breed mares, they often don't need as much preparation with regard to sedation. So the horses have to be clean. There are certain products that aren't allowed to be in the chamber, certain petroleum-based products, other issues we're concerned about, air quality while they're in there. So they are unattended while they're in the chamber, so we obviously don't have anything in there where they could create an issue or a concern, so they don't have food in there. They're usually bathed beforehand. There are very few contraindications, but one of them, for instance, would be a high temperature. So we take their temperature before they go in. We initially, in most cases, will sedate lightly for the first 1 to 3 treatments, just for educational purposes, so that essentially they have a good experience, they learn what the environment's like because it's something different. And then after that, most of them are quite comfortable just going in for treatments on a regular basis. It's not unlike training one to trailer, truck, float, load, or something like that for the first time.
Yeah, and we've sort of seen that here at Bombong with Equine Spa or the Saltwater Walk, or even when you're training horses on treadmill, you know, they get used to things pretty quick. It's quite amazing how quickly horses adapt. I think from an owner's perspective, you know, we know that we've had horses with tendons or we've had bleeders or any other sort of type of injury where we know that over time they rest, the bone or the tendon heals, we give them the time, they go through the rehab. We have a very good record at Care RSing of getting horses back to the track through our rehab program. Why would we be putting them in the chamber, you know, with the cost in mind? How does that benefit outweigh the alternative of just going down the traditional method of just giving them rest time, rehab?
So, I mean, if you look at, I mean, sports science in general, if you look at the improvements that we've had on the human side, it's frustrating and somewhat comical, really, that we haven't applied those same principles to our equine athletes to the extent that we've done it for humans. And we are slowly coming along with it. We've got the saltwater, cold water spas, we're doing underwater walking, we're doing pressure boots, we're doing PEMF, red light therapy. Hyperbaric it's non-invasive aside from potentially the sedation. So it's low risk to put an animal in the chamber for the benefits that you get. So the improvement or the increased healing that you get is massive. And there've been multiple studies done on the human side, particularly used one, there's actually a whole textbook out on burns showing that the cost of applying hyperbaric oxygen therapy, the total cost of treatment for a human having medical bandage changes, hospital stay, it was significantly decreased adding hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And that's what we see with our horses, that if we add, even just pre and post operatively, if we add hyperbaric oxygen therapy treatments, we're getting a massive reduction in inflammation, faster healing, they're back to hand walking or working earlier, their sutures are out sooner, there's less risks of infection. So in most cases, the decreased time off the track in this case, so if their downtime is less, then it's worth the cost of the hyperbaric treatments. And I think too, the big misconception for owners is they think it's going to be this exorbitant cost because it's not well known. Most people, when you speak to them, think we're talking thousands of dollars a treatment, and that's not the case.
Yeah, so I think from our perspective, like obviously it sounds incredible and we're very excited to be able to utilise that and, you know, bring owners on that journey and learn about it and you know, get those benefits just from a perspective of tendons and bleeders, common injuries and problems in Australia. You sort of talked about the scar tissue and the tensile strength, and maybe you can just sort of explain that a little bit, how it actually helps a bleeder, for example.
Yeah, so what we've seen over the years with bleeders, so usually once a bleeder, I'm going to bleed again. So, and most of the time it's believed that that's because of the, when the lung tissue heals, it heals with scar tissue. So we lose the elasticity. So it's most common in our racehorses because of the exertion levels and the expansion of the lung required at that high level of exertion. So if we can minimize the amount of scarring that we get, we're going to get more elasticity in those lungs. So what we've found over the years of doing thousands of bleeders is that the percentage of rebleeding in those animals is significantly less. With regard to tendons, ligaments, that sort of thing, there's been multiple studies done in rabbit models, that sort of thing, which have shown that with hyperbaric oxygen therapy, the same thing, if there's a lesion, if we can apply hyperbaric oxygen therapy acutely prior to it healing with scar tissue, again, we get less scarring and we get much more elasticity and tensile strength. So it's the same with those instances, and it's the same with humans. Like a lot of people, once you've done your Achilles once, you're probably bound to do it again, or you're bound to do the next one. But if you can get better quality healing with hyperbarics, then the percentage of re-injury for those same injuries is significantly less.
I guess it is sort of, we've talked about it a lot in the background about being massive for rehabbers, but a little bit now, I guess, on the post-race recovery and what you would suggest in terms of what you've seen in your previous experiences of how it's been used in the US to aid post-race recovery and the results you've seen from that, I guess, in turning those horses around quicker. And also, you've talked a little bit about mitigating risk of injury post-run if the horse hasn't come through the run so well.
Yeah, so we've seen a lot with racehorses, thoroughbred gallopers, but also a lot of standardbreds because they tend to race a lot more frequently. So it's really common with them using it for recovery. So the same with humans. World's Strongest Man, you can look it up. He has a hyperbaric chamber in his house, so he uses it for recovery. And his point is, I recover faster, so my next training can be heavier and harder. So that's a big thing for our performance horses. How quick can we get them back to optimal training? We all do the feel the legs after a heavy run, a training gallop, whatever it may be. If we feel a bit of heat, if we can get them in the chamber and potentially minimize that inflammation, the potential damage that's going to come from it. So if we've got some heat, if we've got some swelling, if we're using traditional methods and just see what happens, you know, it can, a day or two later, be something significantly more than it was day after racing or day of. We found with the hyperbaric chamber that we can minimise those injuries, that we're stopping the inflammation, so we're stopping the progression or the level of injury that's happening.
I guess we've covered a lot today, but I guess sort of wrapping up on one about sort of where do you see the future of hyperbaric treatments going in terms of the US globally, as well as obviously Australia we've talked about a little bit, but sort of where do you see the biggest advancements most recently in the space, and where do you see it going in the next sort of 5 to 10 years?
So, I mean, looking back over the last 20 years, it's been a slow progression in the equine world. And like I said, there's a lot of that is cost, a lot of that is, you know, the availability. There's also been an incident in the equine world that sort of slowed that trajectory down significantly. I'm not sure that it's ever going to be mainstream, and that's what we're seeing with small animal hyperbarics. It's becoming really common and really popular. It's much easier to apply it for small animals. It's much less expensive, so it's much more accessible for a lot of veterinary clinics and rehab facilities on the small animal side.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to help and assist to that here in Australia, because we're very excited to be using it, and I'm sure everyone has found this podcast very interesting.